Matthew 16th verse, Matthew 10:16. I want to talk to you about endurance and enduring stuff. How many of you know that we're told over and over and over in the Word of God that we must endure, we must endure, especially in Jesus' teaching. Jesus said, if you're going to be saved, you got to what?
Endure.
You got to endure. Those that endure shall be saved. Said it in Matthew, said it in Mark, 13th chapter. We must endure. We must endure. We must endure. And so that means that we cannot quit. Simply, if you endure, you just cannot quit. Father, we love you, and we ask you to bless your word, and we just pray for an anointing of obedience, being able to hear from you and just propagate your good news. And we just want to give you praise for every person here today and ask you to minister to them and through them. In Jesus' name, amen. In the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, I'm going to read beginning with the 16th verse. I think it's up on the board there. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what, I like that, how or what you should speak. But the Spirit of your Father will speak through you, who speaks in you. It's going to be the Spirit that's going to speak through us. So we're told over and over and over in the Word that we've got to endure. And Jesus goes on to say in the 22nd verse, and you who will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. So we're told over and over, we must endure. That means that we just cannot quit. And there's not a person in this building that hasn't reached that point in life that you've wanted to quit at times. How many of you would just say with me, I got both hands up, I've really felt like quitting. I just, as a matter of fact, I wanted to quit. It would just seem like it would be easier to quit. But we just cannot get to that place. We cannot allow the enemy to push us there. Paul said in Colossians 1:23 that if we continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, if we continue in the faith, grounded and settled. How many of you know God wants us grounded? God, I believe this. I believe that God is a good business person. Do you? He gives us plenty of examples in the Word. God's a good business person. God's got good business sense. And God's not going to invest a lot in someone that's not going to be here.
Amen.
God's not, so he wants us grounded. He wants us grounded and settled. He wants us settled in what we are, and he wants us grounded. I love this. How many of you ever heard this? You're grounded. Everybody in this building has either said it or heard it at one time or another in their life. And that's not the kind of ground that God wants us. God, because see, that's like on restriction. And God doesn't want to restrict you. He wants to loose you. God wants you to have more power and more grace than you've ever had. God wants you to understand that you're the head and not the tail. God wants you to understand that this thing, even though it's about him, is about you too. God wants you to recognize who you are in him. If you ever can get settled in your spirit and know who you are in Christ Jesus, you will recognize, I am not restricted by him. I love what Paul said. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's without limitation. That says I can do anything. I just bring it. It doesn't matter how difficult it may seem or how long it may. It really doesn't matter to me because I can do it. I can do it. I can do all things through Christ. Who's, I'm not restricted by where I am or how much money I have or what I don't have or what I know or what I don't know. How many of you know that knowledge of God's really not? You got to know Him. Not have knowledge of Him. You got to have a relationship with Him. You got to have it. And so he's saying here that Paul said, I want you grounded and settled. You know, one of the most difficult things to deal with is an unsettled spirit.
Yes.
I've been in pastoral ministry for 45 years. I know an unsettled spirit. Not only have I dealt with them from congregation, I've lived in it.
Yes.
And when you have an unsettled spirit, it seems like nothing works for you. Everything begins to fall apart. Everything slips through your hand. You think you got it going, and all of a sudden you don't have it going. The things you say I would never do, you wind up doing. Are you with me? I mean, it's so unsettling. Your whole life becomes unsettling. It's such a spirit that you have to deal with. So Paul said, I want you, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. There's two things here you got to do. You got to get grounded and settled. One thing about it, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and no one can make me doubt this, and that is that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I know that He died for my sin. I mean, I know that I'm saved today. I may not be saved to a lot of people, and there's a lot of people may not think you're saved. But let me tell you, I know where I stand with Jesus Christ, and no one can take that away. I'm settled in that. It's just, I have such a confidence to know that should I leave this world today, I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. Yes. I know this. I'm settled in this. A lot of things. And listen, I know, how many of you know worriers? People that worry about everything. I don't care what. They just worry. And I guess I could fall into that category too. Because I think, and once I give it over to the Lord, I'm okay. But sometimes I take my time giving it over to Him.
Yeah.
But we have warriors, and they just worry about everything. Let me share this with you real quickly. When you worry, you are unsettled.
Amen.
When I worry, I'm unsettled.
Mm-hmm.
We got to recognize this thing. This is what we've got to do is when we get to that place that we can give it to God and really not be concerned about it any longer and know that regardless of all things work together. For the good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. We recognize that these things, I don't care what we're going through, God is going to work it. But we must endure if we're going to be able to experience the victory. You must endure. You can't get halfway through. You must endure. And he says, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Listen, you know, what is the hope of the gospel? Of course, we know what the Bible says, and we can read it in several different ways. But you know what it is? I feel like the hope of the gospel is just the settlement of my failures. Everybody in this building has failed some way or another.
Yes,
right. And you fail someone. Yes. It's just a settlement of my failures. Even though I failed, somebody settled the debt. It's Jesus Christ, of course we know. That's the hope I got, that my failures have been settled. There's not a person in this building that enjoys failure. That's kind of like, you know, I don't really have anything to do today. I think I'll just stab myself in the eye with an ice pick or needle or something, you know. No. No one in this building enjoy. You don't like to fail God. You don't like to fail others. You don't like to fail yourself. Nobody enjoys failure. But let me tell you something. Failure is not the worst thing in the world that can happen to you. Quitting is. Because as long as you don't quit, I don't care how many times you fail, you can get up and try again. You can start all over. You could try again. Failure means nothing to me. It's quitting's what we got to be concerned about. And he said, we just cannot quit. We've got to endure. If you are going to enjoy the victory, then you're just going to have to endure. You're just going to have to get that in your head. You got to endure. We hate to fail, but that's not the worst thing to happen. That can happen to us. Quitting is. Listen, as long as you are seeking after the heart of God, he will never quit on you. Now listen to this. We may quit on God, but God's not going to quit on us. I don't care how long it lasts or how bad it gets. God's not going to quit on you. I don't care how far down you've gotten. God's not going to quit on you. Right. We gotta just see the love of God in our lives and know that regardless of what we're having to go through and what is happening to us right now, God's not going to quit on us. We may quit on God, but he's just not going to quit on us. See, a lot of people in church, and I've experienced this for so many years, I know this to be the truth. A lot of people in church quit just before they get their answer. Amen. Pray and pray and pray and pray and give up just before they get their answer. They quit just before it comes. So, listen. When this happens to me, and it's happened to you too at some time or another, you've quit before you got your answer, and then you wonder, I wonder why my dreams that God's given me never come to fruition. How come I never get to see them come to reality, become a reality to me? It's because you've quit. Look at somebody and say, don't quit. Nobody likes a quitter. No, you gotta recognize nobody wants to be a quitter. We God didn't create us that way. Now listen, we may have to endure some hardships before we conquer our dreams, but we will have our dream. God give you a dream, you will have it. I promise you that. Don't give up on it. You may have to go through some stuff, and it may last a while, but I promise you, it will come to pass. God will bring it to you if he gave it to you. I've always said, I've preached this many, many times, God doesn't put your dreams in your hand, but he always puts it within your reach. Yes. You can reach it if you'll keep reaching. Yes. But you can't quit. You got to keep reaching. It's within your reach. Listen, I have a made-up mind this morning. I think this is so important. This is what makes us grounded and settled in what we're doing. I have a made-up mind that I'm just not going to quit. You know, when I say quit, I'm talking about I'm not going to quit the ministry. I'm not going to quit the call of God in my life. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to make out like I'm just enjoying life, whether I am or not. I'm not going to quit. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to quit. Someone were to tell you that I've quit, the devil's a lie. Because I will not. I'm not going to quit. I've never been a quitter. I just don't do that kind of thing. It's not in me. I want to be able to go out of this world saying, you know, I did everything I could do. I know one thing I didn't do was quit. I'm still at it. Listen, it may get to a point that I have to regroup. I may even have to back up and punt, but I'm not going to quit. Amen. I'll just never quit. Yes. We got to have a made up mind this morning. We got to know in our spirit. We got to be grounded in the Word of God, and we got to be settled in our spirit that we are not going to quit. This thing's worth holding on to. Amen. I wish that time would permit me to be able to explain just what the Word of God that we can actually read about what heaven and eternity is going to be about. And I promise you that you'll be able to say, it's worth it. Endure it. It's worth it. It'll be worth it to you in the end. I can remember times in my life that I've wanted to quit. How many of you remember maybe even the last time that you wanted to give up and quit? You know, I've been where quitting looked pretty good. Yeah. You say, I can't believe it. You'd say, yeah, it looked pretty good. You know, pride had kind of stepped aside long enough that the shame disappeared and yeah. I didn't see anything really wrong. But I think maybe this would be the best. And maybe this is the way God's leading. God hadn't led you to quit. You are more than conquerors. Yeah. through Christ who should. Now, if you ever feel like that your whole life has just absolutely turned into nights, you don't have any days. It's dark when you get up and it's dark when you go to bed. Everything is just turned to night. It's a miserable feeling. And it seems like that nothing is working for you. Just about the time things start working for you, it begins to crumble and fall apart right in front of you. And you begin to ask yourself, what is going on? Am I really in God's will? How many of you know the devil is not going to attack you if you're not in God? Hello? He wants you to be, that's when he's going to bring the hardest attacks, is when you're in God's will. See, you seem like nothing's working for you, and everything is falling apart. And seems like that just about the time you see a light at the end of the tunnel, just before you get there, someone steals your victory or your joy just before you get it. You don't even get to enjoy it. Listen, I've got good news for you this morning. It comes out of the Word of God, out of the book of Psalms, the 30th chapter and the 5th verse. And it says, his anger lasts but for a moment. His anger lasts but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Think about that, church. That's pretty good news. I was ministering to a fellow not too long ago, and he was angry with God. You ever talk to anybody that was angry with God? Ever been angry with God? Well, that's not unusual. If you think you're the only one's been that way, you're not. And I was talking to him, he was angry with God. And so I listened, and I listened like I was supposed to. And then finally he said, well, do you have any thoughts? I said, well, yeah. It's better for you to be angry with God than for God to be angry with you. You're in a lot better shape because his mercy endureth forever. Are you with me, church? His mercy just endures forever. You see this and you say, well, you know, I don't know that I've ever been mad with God, and you may not have. And that's fine. I have. I hate that I was, but I was angry with him because of a wreck my daughter had. No, by her fault, not at all. But I couldn't understand it. I was preaching the gospel. I was in the pulpit every Sunday. And then these kind of things happened to us. Listen, church. We get to that place that we have to endure some stuff. You may have to go through some things. But let me promise you that when God's love for you and his favor on you, it's going to last a lifetime. His anger is just for a moment. You couldn't take more than that. But his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping. It's still in Psalms 30 and 5. Weeping may last through the night, but joy. Everybody say joy.
Joy,
joy comes in the morning. Joy. Hey, listen. There's some great hope in you. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. You know, we talk about endurance. How long you must endure. You don't have to endure forever. Just through the night. If I can just make it, the morning comes. Because morning will come, and it's going to bring what?
Joy.
Joy with it. But joy comes in the morning. I don't know about you, but that's good news. That's real good news. That's gospel right there. That's good news. That no matter what you're going through, it's not going to last forever. God's going to bring a halt to it, and by the time you wake up, you're going to wake up to joy. I've learned something that's helped me with my nights, and we've all had nights, believe it or not. We've all had long nights. But I've learned that every day starts with a night.
Yeah.
Every day, every day, every day. We tend to think that the day starts with the breaking of the dawn. But actually, even from the beginning, it started at night. It started with a night. It doesn't start with the coming up of the sun. It starts with the going down of the sun. Now, we use the Gregorian calendar, and on our calendar, it starts at 12:01 in the middle of what we call the middle of the night. But every day starts with a night. See, it may be 3 a.m. in your house, and you may not have your dream in your hand yet, but it's within your reach, and joy's going to come in the morning. In other words, church, what I'm telling you is, every day has a night in it. And the evening and the morning was one day. Every day's going to have an night in it. You might as well get used to it. You're going to have good things happen to you, and you're going to have bad things happen to you. It rains on the just and the unjust. You got to recognize these things are going to happen. Now, some of you in this congregation will not get involved in relationships or something because you've been hurt and you've had things happen in your life. Now, I'm not just talking about a personal relationship. I'm talking about a church relationship. I'm talking about a friendship. I'm just talking about a marriage. I'm talking about any kind of relationship. What happens is you allow your yesterdays to rob you of your tomorrows. You allow them to determine what your tomorrow is going to be like. See, the enemy knows that he cannot use your tomorrow against you because it hasn't happened yet. So what does he do? He goes to yesterday and yes to you. He always brings up these things in the past. Always brings. So he goes back to the eras of yesterday. How many of you can say to me this morning, Pastor, I don't have any eras of yesterday? I want you to raise your hand because we're going to thank you this morning before you change. We all have eras of yesterday. And that's the reason the enemy goes back to the eras of yesterday. And when he reminds you of this, what you need to do is have enough of biblical knowledge and be grounded and settled enough in the Word of God that you could say, yeah, I know I did that. But I also know what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. I also know that it's been wiped away and it's been removed from me. It's as far as it can be from me. Listen, I want you to remember this. The devil lives in your past. You live in your present. But God lives in your future. God's in control of the future. Listen, church, we must recognize that you know that the past is gone. Put it aside and leave it be. Forgetting those things that are behind you and going forward to those things that are in front of you. It's forward is better. And you'll be able to recognize. You don't have to be the best there is. You don't have to be the biggest. But you got to be able to depend on God. This is where it's at. God's going to take care of tomorrow. You got to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that regardless of what you go through, God is in charge of your tomorrow. You know, that is so good when we can just turn it loose and say, God, I know you're in charge of my tomorrow. You're going to take care of this for me. I don't have to be concerned about it or worry about it. I don't even have to be the one to fight the battle. You're going to fight it for me. We got to learn how to depend on God. If you endure, you'll be victorious. I promise you, victory's coming. The victory is coming. You've endured a lot. You've been through a lot. But victory's coming. God's going to bring you the victory. You just got to hang around and receive it. You cannot quit. You got to be. One of the most powerful stories in the book to me is the David and Goliath. Everybody likes the David and Goliath. We like those kind of stories. Now, David wasn't the best warrior, and he certainly wasn't the biggest warrior. But one thing David knew, he knew how to depend on God. He knew how to trust God. And he learned it in the shepherd's field. Maybe you and I need to spend more time in the shepherd's field with the shepherd. Maybe we need to get to where we can just spend more time with him and let him begin to minister to see We got to recognize we got to depend on God. Saul dressed him in his own armor. And David said, I can't go with this. I've not even tried this. I don't even know how it operates. You don't want to go into a battle. How many of you know that our battles are not carnal? That's what the word says. Our battles are not carnal. We're fighting spiritual battles. And so you can't go into a spiritual battle with armor you've not tried. You got to know how that stuff operates. You got to know what you can expect and all of these things. So you're not going to go into a spiritual battle with armor that you've not tried. See, David had tried God. He knew how God would react. He knew what God would do. David said, I can't go with this stuff. I'm not tried it. I got to go with what I know, and I know God. And I can depend on God. I can depend on God. I know that God's not going to fail me, and I can depend on God. I would this morning that the Lord would give me the words to say to you, to convince you that you can depend on God this morning. I don't care what you're going through, you can depend on God. I don't care what you're facing, you can depend on God. You're not facing anything God has not already faced with someone else. I remember one time you just try to find new stuff to preach on, new stuff. We want a new way of preaching. We want this. We want that. We want a new way of getting the word over. We want fresh word and this, that, and the other. And I had a professor one time just busting my bubble. He said, listen, there is nothing new. He said, all these good revelations that you get, somebody else has already preached them thousands of times. You just think you're good. are you with me? Yeah. We gotta recognize who we really are in Christ. It's all about Him. It's what He does. We gotta depend on Him. We gotta know Him, and we gotta recognize that if our dependency is on God, then God's going to bring us to victory. David had tried God. He knew what God would do, and he depended on Him. Listen, you got to endure until the victory is won. You got to endure till the victory is won. Your circumstances does not determine your outcome. Your circumstances does not determine your outcome, because your answer is not in your circumstances. Your answer is in God. Circumstances doesn't determine. Don't look at your circumstances. Look at God. David endured. Endurance is the determination to stay with the circumstance until it's resolved. Endurance is the determination to stay with the circumstance until it's resolved. When David knocked Goliath down with the rock, he realized that his circumstance was laying on the ground, but there was not resolve, because his circumstance could get up and fight. So what did he do? He took Goliath's sword and cut his head off. That's resolve. Get up now. You can't see where you go. Listen, church. He endured to the end. He knew that if the circumstances were not resolved, he would have to fight Goliath again. We know this story probably as good as any story in the Bible. It's a great story. You could preach on it for 10 years and never preach at all. And you recognize, you go all the way back to when you started going, he picked up the rocks, 5 rocks, 1 for Goliath, 4 for his 4 brothers. You know, he had 4 brothers lived in Gath. And it would be their responsibility to take out the guy that killed their brother. He said, I'm going to go ahead and get one for each of them. And when you read the story, you'll find that David's men killed all 4 of Goliath's brothers. So I mean, we could go, there's all kinds of things that we could go. But the main thing is this: David endured till the victory comes. David stayed with it. Listen, You know, he knew that if he did not bring resolve, if he knocked him down, he knew he would have to fight Goliath again. And I began to think about this week, and I thought, you know, maybe that's the reason you and I are fighting the same old spiritual battles over and over and over and over again. We never bring resolve. Just get a little relief. I could date myself now, but I'm not. Because I could talk about plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. See, y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. Some of you do. Listen. We gotta recognize right here now, we fight the same battles over and over simply because we don't bring resolve to them. We got to get past leaving it alive in our lives. You got to die how many times?
Daily.
You must die daily. You got to kill it every day. You got to kill that carnal person every day. You got to die daily. You got to die daily. And here, this is right where we are. We got to recognize as long as we leave it living, we're going to have to fight that battle again. Most of the time, people that I've ministered to would tell you, I fight the same battles over and over and over and over. That's because they do not bring resolve to it. David knew that he had to do something to bring resolve. See, I don't know about you, but I don't want relief. I want resolve. Right. See, David just was not the type of individual that would sit around and wring his hands and say, I sure wish I'd have done this, or I wish I'd have done that. See, Satan is not worrying or is not afraid, I should say, of someone having a pity party and saying, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do next. I wish. That doesn't bother the enemy of your soul. But let me tell you what does. He is terrified of God's people when they get determined to endure. I remember when I was in like middle school, well, we called it junior high school. I was in junior high school, and I had really, to be honest with you, I'd gotten little scuffles this and, but I'd really never been in a real knockdown, drag out fight. And this guy was going to take my bicycle. That is not good at all. He was going to take my bicycle. And he did. He beat me up and took my bicycle. And I guess rode it home or wherever he wanted to ride it to. You know where I was the next morning? I was at the bike rack. And the minute he got off that bike, I hit him as hard as I could hit him with a stick, with a board that I found. I knew I couldn't whip him, but I had to have me an equalizer.
Amen.
Come on, you'd do it, amen. And you know you'd do it. I'm telling you, I'd have beat him. And listen, when I got him down, I let him know why. Hey church, you got to get some intestinal fortitude about you when you're dealing with your enemy.
Amen.
Whether he stole your bicycle, he stole your joy, whether he stole your salvation, whether he stole anything, he stole your family. Listen, you got to get enough an intestinal fortitude about you to say, devil, you're not going to do this to me. I'm telling you, I'll fight you every time I see you, but you're not going to do this to me. I'm not going to allow you to. This is that spirit of David. This is the man that was after God's own heart. The enemy. Everybody has an enemy. Look at somebody and say, everybody don't love you. I know you think they do. But you should have talked to who I talked to. Never mind. Endurance always brings the victory. Always brings the victory. And the victory always brings the spoil. What I mean by the spoil, how many of you know what the spoil is? See, there was a time that God had instructed Israel, you can go and fight, but don't you take anything. You leave it all there. Then there came a time when he said, if you're going to fight, at least bring something home. Take the spoil. And the victory always, always brings the spoil. David had more than one reason to kill Goliath. What's this, church? I'm going to give you a little nugget. Do you know, David never called Goliath a giant. Read. David did not see Goliath as a giant. He saw him as a disgrace. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine defying the armies of the living God of Israel? That's a disgrace. See, he wasn't trying. We're running around here in the modern day church trying to kill giants. Everything you come against is not a giant. See, we're trying to be giant killers, and the little foxes are spoiling our vine. The little foxes are eating us up. He didn't see him as a giant. He saw him as a disgrace. Listen, we need to reevaluate those things that we're facing. Stand up, I'm through. Stand up, I'm through. We need to reevaluate those things that we're having to deal with every day. Everything is not a giant. Amen. Listen, everything is not a giant. David didn't see him as he just saw him as a disgrace. See, he wasn't wanting to kill a giant that day. He was just wanting to get rid of the disgrace. How many of you know there are a lot of people that you know in life and I know in life and that knows us that are willing to live with the disgrace? Come on, church. I'm preaching now. I'm preaching and I know him. They're just willing to live with the disgrace. Not David. He said, I'm not living with that disgrace. I cannot live wondering what would have happened if I had not fought that giant. No. If I hadn't fought him, I couldn't live with the fact. What would have happened? I might would have beat him. He said, I just can't do it. I can't live with that disgrace. Are you saying what if this morning? Or are you saying which way, Lord? Are you saying what if or which way? I believe that God's speaking to us this morning, and He doesn't want us to just sit around and do nothing. And if you're in that place in life and you're thinking about quitting and you're thinking about giving up, let me encourage you to tell you, victory's on its way. Don't quit now. See, that's the heart that God wanted after David. Don't quit now. The victory's here. The victory is won. All you got to do is receive. Every head bowed and every eye closed. And I'd like to ask you a question. I'd like to say to you, if you're having an endurance problem and you're feeling like giving up, tell the Lord this morning, Lord, I need your strength. Strengthen me, O God. Strengthen me. Let me be like Paul when he said at the time of his departure, I fought the good fight and I finished the race and I've kept the faith. Oh God, ground me, settle me, make me your man, make me your woman, make me your son, make me your... I want you to know, God, that I'm not going to quit. Father, you know every heart, and you know every person in this building. You know what they're going through, and you know what they're what is coming against them and their families. Lord, we fought these battles over and over and over and over, and we're just tired of fighting them. We don't want to fight them no more. I want resolve this morning, God. I want you to just come into my spirit and into my heart and cleanse me and purge me and take a piece of coal and touch my lips and make them clean, Lord. I've fought it long enough. I'm not giving up. Go ask our prayer warriors to come to the front. And if you'd like prayer, if you'd like for one of them to lay hands on you and pray, please come in Jesus' name. That's what we're here for. Any prayer for anything, please come. Please come and allow the Lord to minister to you. God loves you, and He knows that you have a need, and He wants to meet that need. Believe Him this morning. Trust Him this morning, and know that He is God. As they sing and play, if you would, just step forward and come and allow God to minister to you in Jesus' name.